Remedies begin for groups who'd face discrimination in farming and ranching. I'm David Brancaccio. First, a new Reuters poll of housing analysts say home prices will continue to rise well into next year. The bigger risk, the poll finds, is prices going up more than expected, not down. So not a bubble, really? Economist Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives.
One big difference between what we're seeing now and what we saw in the housing bubble of the early 2000s is that the credit scores of mortgage borrowers are very high. So credit quality isn't deteriorating. It's not like we're generating these sales from lending to riskier, ever riskier borrowers. We are lending to very, very strong borrowers. The problem is just that there isn't enough home building.
What are policy options with so many people wielding low-interest money stuck between a rock and a homestead? Some argue local officials might make it faster to build.
The theme of the moment is supply chain bottlenecks, and this is just another one of them. I think the high home prices are a signal to state and local government officials that they need to think about speeding up the permitting process and the process by which, you know, buildable lots become available. We really need more housing supply to meet the demands of homeowners.
Even if you can build, materials are expensive. Lumber's up 80% since January, although forecasters expect those to ease next year, but not get back to normal levels until perhaps year after next. About 16,000 Black, Latinx, Native American, and Asian American farmers will start receiving word this week that they're eligible for federal debt relief. The Agriculture Department is launching this to remedy a long history of discrimination against some farmers. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, this program was born out of the last COVID relief package David enacted more than 2 months ago, which set aside $4 billion in debt relief for farmers and ranchers of color. Now, farmers start getting letters this week showing them how much they owe and how much will be forgiven. It's going to take a few months to get to all the farmers. Then the government will pay off that debt and give farmers 20% of the debt amount they owe in cash to pay any tax liabilities and other expenses.
Now, it's debt relief designed to address history of discrimination. What form did that take?
Right. Well, one form it took is the Agriculture Department's own rules, which the department itself acknowledges often benefited white farmers at the expense of farmers of color. And that played out even last year when Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says tens of billions of dollars in aid went to farmers hurt by the pandemic, but just 1%, David, of that money reached farmers of color.
Now, despite those numbers, there's pushback.
There is. Some white farmers have objected, calling it reverse discrimination, this program, and banking groups are worried about smaller banks losing profits from interest payments. But the USDA says it's paying early repayment penalties to banks, and that should cover it for them.
Nova, thank you. Some global retail operations, including Amazon or Walmart, have done especially well in the pandemic, but smaller businesses, ones left standing, have had to adjust strategies with vastly fewer resources. One small Black-owned business in North Carolina was able to survive by starting to run errands that many customers don't have time to run. WUNC's Leonita Inge has that as part of Marketplace's Back to Business series.
It's hard to catch up with Tina Travis. She spends a lot of time driving around town, picking up and dropping off. On this day, her precious cargo is 7-year-old Nicholas Eke, the son of one of her clients.
Okay, hand sanitizer. Hold it there. Okay. You got a seatbelt on?
Travis is the founder of Errand Girl of Durham, a concierge service she started more than a decade ago.
We fill in the nooks and crannies of life. We're like a nice, reliable, sweet neighbor. The only thing about it, we have national background checks, and we're superlative drivers.
Travis used to rely heavily on a big contract with the airport, but since the pandemic, she's had to do smaller jobs, everything from delivering birthday gifts to ferrying children to and from school. More than 40% of Black-owned businesses disappeared early in the pandemic. Vicki Gibbs is the executive director at the Entrepreneurship Center at UNC Chapel Hill.
I think entrepreneurs like her, who have moved very quickly to adjust, have thrived, and those that have leveraged technology to interact effectively with their clientele, they have also thrived.
And it hasn't been easy to thrive in these times. Gibbs says many Black women business owners didn't have the same access to federal PPP loans as larger businesses. Travis received less than $7,000 in the first round of PPP. That allowed her to keep her four employees so they can help people like Chinelo Eke, Nicholas's mom.
So I must say that since she's been providing the service for Nicholas, she's not for one day disappointed. Not at all.
Today, Travis says there are talks underway to expand Errand Girl to other cities. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Leonita Inge for Marketplace.
Our back-to-business coverage is accumulating at marketplace.org. Today, we also check in with owners of Black-owned bookstores who saw a surge in customers after the murder of George Floyd, which is a year ago tomorrow. That's in our podcast feed if you miss it on the air. Marketplace Morning Report is from APM, American Public Media.